Hey everybody, welcome to Life's What You Rate It, the Whack Matters podcast where we rate everything in life starting from
the bottom. The kitchen sink and now here.
Yeah, and the kitchen sink. Everything. 1 to 10. In episode 0, we give everything a rating scale. Now, we're here and we're doing this.
Episode?
This is our life now.
3. This is everything I am. I pour my heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears all into this project.
We quit our jobs for this because we're professional podcasters now.
We're also homeless.
We're also designing t-shirts. We're designing t-shirts on the library computers because we don't have a home or computers. I only have a library card.
The only way we can manage to record this is by going to where we were evicted from and doing that classic Little Rascals joke of stretching one can into the house and with a long string connected to another can speaking into the microphones that were formerly ours. Have you seen that done at all? Does that actually work?
What did you say? I got distracted.
When you have like a can and there's a string sticking in like the hole at the bottom of it.
It does work.
I've never done it.
It basically works for infinite distance. Like if we could stretch a string from here to space, it would work. Even though sound is not in space, it would travel along the string though. But not outside the string. So it actually travels better in space.
Hmm. Weird. You know, I essentially said that the way we were recording the podcast was we had to break into this house and use a can and stretch it to to a mic.
I'm trying to figure out which is more unrealistic, the force or what I just said about the can and the string in space. Because there's no way that's real.
No, it'll work.
I don't think gravity exists in space, but you're not subject to the Earth's gravity once you're far enough away from the Earth. I mean, I guess you always are to some degree, right?
Yeah, isn't that how space works? I don't know.
That's not how I wanted to intro this podcast.
Yeah, dude, shouldn't we say something funny rather than kind of like admitting how dumb we are? Is that funny? Is it funny just to be like we're both not very good at being smart?
Tell the story about the tree.
Okay, so this week, I was out in the woods, and I was climbing around on a tree, and I'm a 20-year-old boy, so as I'm tend to do, I got moderately cocky, and while audibly saying out loud, I don't think this branch can support my body weight, it did break, and I did panic a little bit, and tried to grab onto the tree, like, full on a cat in water, like, just clawing, bark ripped off, and just full 10 feet dropped, landed flat on my back. When all of this happened, smashed my head on the ground, just back of my head on the ground. My glasses popped off. I couldn't see anything for a minute. The only thing that noticeably hurt was my hip. And I still don't understand why that was the case.
Years from now, you're going to be going in for hip surgery. And you're going to remember this moment the way that, like, our dad remembers playing football in high school. Like, this is the moment where you're going to be like, man, that stupid kid I was. This ruined me the rest of my life.
I was 20 and invincible.
Back in my day, I used to climb in trees, and then I fell down and busted my hips out like an old woman.
Women don't climb trees.
Because if they're wearing dresses, you'd see in their dresses.
That's a good point. And all women, I mean, any women worth speaking to only wears a dress.
You mentioned that you spoke to yourself out loud. I don't think this branch can hold me. Do you talk to yourself?
A lot.
Oh, like audibly?
Yeah.
I never do. My wife does all the time. And I never, like, I realized once when my wife went out of town for a couple weeks, like, I had a dog, and the only thing that I ever said was, like, commands for the dog, and I would go, like, basically 2 weeks without speaking, and then I would, like, walk out and go to church or something, and, like, realize I hadn't talked in 48 hours. It was like, oh, this is weird.
I am on my other podcast that I do, I'm always making the joke that the sound of my own voice is my safe place, and the more I realize, just the act of talking makes me feel super comfortable for some, and I have like a lot of social anxiety to where like if I meet a lot of new people I won't say things, which is weird, but like the act of talking just makes me feel more comfortable in life. Like, so in the car, if I'm not listening to music or podcasting, I'll just talk about stuff.
So you mentioned to me in a text that when you fell out of a tree, that there was a specific new skill that you'd kind of been thinking about that saved your life.
I would have died otherwise.
Yeah.
And I was completely 180. This made me a full convert into what is wrestling.
The professional wrestling scene saved your life, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so essentially, for those people who don't know, me and Michael have been debating back and forth whether we're actually going to...
There's no debate.
At some point, me and Michael are going to learn how to actually wrestle in his backyard. But talking about this, we talked about how they fall a very long distance flat on their back, and one way, or they do a thing that gives two positive outcomes. They, one, slap their arms on the ground to spread impact, so they take less of it just on their spine, and also makes a lot of noise, so it's more showy. I thought of this while falling, spread my arms. I'm assuming I did it pretty correctly, because I didn't jack up my back, like, at all.
And you're
like,
not dead.
I thought I would have, and I didn't die.
You ever seen the movie Insidious?
I've not.
Baby monitors, bad news. They can pick up extraterrestrial. Nope. What's like
demons?
Yeah, but like
other planar.
Yeah, other extraplanar sounds.
Planar.
Planar. Planar. Hold planar. On. Extraplanar sounds. I'm like a redneck who plays D&D.
Well, shoot.
That's my new gimmick.
My new character.
Yeah, I can be a redneck who plays D&D.
Man, I'll be an old man.
Get them bokoblins.
You whippersnappers.
What did you bring to the table this week? Like, we have discussion topics, but this show is actually about reviewing stuff, and we haven't said much funny so far, so let's start here.
Dude, I was just thinking about the ratio's real bad this week. So, we are both fans of music, and in the new, if you guys check out, there's a new logo for Whack Matters. It has headphones on it representing music.
And podcasts, really.
And podcasts, I guess. But that didn't even cross my mind.
Me either.
Till now? Really?
No. Okay. Well, no. It never crossed my mind. You said it.
Okay. So, there's an artist that is all of a sudden almost kind of relevant again that I thought we could give some love and just kind of really, really get into.
I'm trying to decide whether this is a bit or not.
It's not a bit.
Who's the artist that's almost relevant again?
The artist we affectionately refer to as J-Mac.
What makes him relevant again? Was he in a TV show?
He released a single. That's it. He made music
so
in 2018.
So it is a bit, dang it.
He made music in 2018.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
So, first thing I think that we should do is rate. He has 4 studio albums. We need to rate all of those. Can you name them, actually? Let's see if you can name them and give me the year they came out. In order.
Is Beautiful Soul the name of the album?
Yes.
2004.
Ooh! Killed it.
The second one, is it called Right Where You Want Me?
Mm-hmm.
2006.
Yes.
Third one is probably the one that had Departure.
Mm-hmm.
2009.
Dude.
The fourth one is that the newest one? Technicolor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be 2015?
14.
Dang it! You almost, so close!
You almost killed
I just
it.
Pulled it off the dome, man!
You did so good! You proved that you're actually a Jesse McCartney fan.
I do like Jesse McCartney. It's true.
Jesse McCartney... I know a lot of people who
he
are like...
He has a beautiful soul. I know he's singing about a girl in that song, but I know his soul is
him
beautiful.
As a person.
Yeah.
Also, just besides his soul, good-looking boy.
Yeah, he's right where I want him.
I mean, I don't ever want him to be leaving.
Sometimes I wonder how he sleeps. How does he sleep? It's been about a year now since he made that EP. Yeah. Actually, 3.
Yeah, but I haven't seen or heard from him till this new single. I've been missing him like crazy, dog.
How does he sleep?
I don't know.
These jokes are not going to flow. People don't know who Jesse McCartney is because ever since Beautiful Soul came out, I don't think anybody
gave a crap.
Leaving was on the radio?
Leaving got radio
play. Why don't you tell them that I'm leaving, never looking back again. What about that one breakup song that's on Departure? I'm pretty sure that had radio time.
It's over. You it's know all, that it's yeah. over when the burning and the yearning inside your heart. Hey, there's a video of you singing the bridge to that song on the internet.
There's also a video of me singing Right Where You Want Me.
I don't remember that one, but it's real good. I'm a big fan of Right Where You Want Me. Of course.
What in the world is that other song? Oh, the song he does with T-Pain is like a straight up
Body Language.
Straight up banger. Nappy Boy, Pretty Boy collaboration. Like it's like a certified banger. Is that the word I always say?
Yes, yeah, certified banger.
Is that the one I always use? When like you play a song and it always works?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
It's a certified banger. Yeah, you can go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
It's documented on this website.
I'm pretty sure I stole that phrase from Ryan Davis, rip, from Giant Bomb, but I don't remember. It's been a long time. The internet's a weird place where like nobody invents anything anymore.
You haven't seen or heard from him?
Yeah, he also... Rip. What? Jesse McCartney, yes.
Yeah, so we're gonna rate Jesse McCartney, but first, I think it's only due that we rate his albums.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's start with Beautiful Soul.
Beautiful Soul. So like here's the thing. I have to go from memory because it has been a hot second since I listened to some J-Mac. But Beautiful Soul, using our rating scale, I'm gonna give it a solid, like as an album or as a like song.
Album.
Like a 7.
That's fair.
Like a 7 out of 10. It's a good album.
It's some solid pop stuff. I know the least of this album, I think, out of all of the Jesse McCartney albums.
Is this the one where he's got like, dang it, it was in like all the Disney Channel original movies. Get Your Shine On? Is that it?
I think so.
Get Your Shine
On. Because I know 3 songs from this album. I know She's Not Who You and Beautiful Soul and Get Your Shine On. I also sang that in the wrong... That's not how that song goes.
No, that's like the end, though. Like, She's No You. She's No You.
Oh, no.
The prettiest something I would ever want. I don't know if that's actually how it goes. She's No You. You're the only
it's also
one
the one
ever
where I think the only way we can describe his hair on this was very much anime.
Really?
In a lot of ways, yeah. Some emo anime kid. It was like very highlight, low light, very fixed to his head. Like I could see a Kingdom Hearts character.
I mean,
rocking
we definitely lived in the world where it was a lot cooler to just like bleach those tips out. Man.
What do you mean we did?
Man. What a time that was.
Hold on. Real quick. I want to... Side note. Can we rate real quick the idea of frosting your tips and then the idea of you frosting your tips?
So here we go. First of all, I love to say that I frosted my tips. They were so frosted. My tips were frosty.
They were...
But let's just get into this, because like I'm real curious. As someone that was more of a bystander in the Frosted Tips era, what do you think of Frosted Tips now that we're living in 2018?
Like, looking back on them? Or what do I think of them when you did it?
Just, like, in general. Like, give me your whole spiel. We got time.
I mean, Frosted Tips are kind of lying. I just made a video where I talked about this. You're kind of lying. Like, isn't that just lying about your hair to somebody? Hey, my hair is 2 colors.
Well, it's not... you're saying my natural hair... You'd be lying if you said my natural hair is this color. When you frost your tips,
no one thinks
your natural hair color.
No, and I did.
It is your hair color. Like, when you change the color of your hair, it becomes your hair color. It's then accurate.
But like here's like it's like you're lying to somebody. You're like, oh, I was born like this, but you weren't.
No one thinks you're born.
I thought you were.
You were a baby child.
I mean, I was also just not smart. But like, I thought there's a good period of time when I was like, man, I wish my hair grew like Justin Timberlake's and it was just frosted and just once it got so long, those ends just turned yellow.
So like, there was a period of time where you thought that was cool too.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
It was strictly because you did it. And I thought you were cool.
Nah, dog. Here's the thing. I'm about to date myself real right here, right? So, like, my mom, bless her heart, likes to look at pictures from the 80s and see those ladies with those bulbous bangs just, like, poofing way out there. And she's like, man, I love that. I wish that stuff would come back. It was so cool. And I'm like, Mom, you're crazy. That was never cool. But now I realize that I'm that person. Because, like...
Do you ever look back at your frosted tips and be like, maybe someday?
I mean... If I'm being 100% on the honest here, I think about that more often than once a year, maybe like once a month. And if your next question is, if it were okay, would I do it again? With without a doubt, in a heartbeat.
Do it.
Absolutely. Now, some of the time, there are lots of pictures of me on the internet with various states of bleach tips, whatever. Some were not as good as others. I had some botched jobs, we'll say. But
again, bless mom's heart.
Yeah, but listen, if it were an option again and I were allowed to, just like wearing a fanny pack, if I could wear a fanny pack, I just would. In a heartbeat, there's no question.
Michael, we can cut this out, of course, because that's how editing works. Michael, can I get you to commit to, if we ever do any sort of live show for this, you frost your tips for it. If we ever make enough money for us to do a live show.
If we ever make enough money for there to be an audience for this live show. Now, mind you this. I have a professional job that until we make a lot of money, I have to maintain a professional appearance. But absolutely I would. If we did a live show for this show and we actually had a fan base, I'm absolutely frosting those tips, and I expect the audience to do so as well, as much as can be expected.
Again, we are a movement, Michael. You frosting your tips can bring back
this
thing.
There are old people. Now, I think that most people my age remember that age differently than me, but I remember it so fondly. Like, I would frost my tips in a heartbeat.
I mean, if I could have Justin Bieber's haircut from My World 2.0, I would.
I also would. But I'm balding.
You're balding. You've been balding since freaking, like, junior year.
Since 2006. No, dude, 7. That's so 7, long. 2007. I've been balding for 11 years. But it hasn't gotten any worse much. Not much worse, at least.
Yeah, that is
in
true. 7,
11 years, whatever.
I haven't started yet.
This is the Michael's Old podcast. Keep going. We're talking about Jesse McCartney. That's why you're talking about a freaking artist that's old because you listen to it because I'm old.
That's true. Most of my I have the weirdest music taste to a lot of people because I listen to a lot of weird 80s stuff from our parents and a lot of stuff that you like. And then a lot of weird stuff I like. So Beautiful Soul, we're giving a 7. The album.
The album. The song, though.
Also, the song? I would argue that songs are 9.
9. Because if it were a 10, you would have to like... Like, if we're talking 10, like that Journey song that we talked about in episode 0, that would be like, this is a certified banger all the time. You never not want to hear this song, and you can hear it a lot of times in a row and not get tired of it. You can get tired of the song Beautiful Soul. It takes a little bit, but it's a 9.
Yeah, it takes a minute, but... All right, now, the album, Right Where You Want Me, Jesse McCartney. Well, let's write the title track, of course. I think title track also a 9. However, I think it's a stronger 9 than Beautiful Soul.
No.
I freaking love Right Where You Want Me.
Right Where You Want Me is a great song, but it's like an 8. It's not as like... When someone plays... Here's the thing, right? Think about Right Where You Want Me. And Right Where You Want Me is a... I don't even know if I can call it a certified banger. It's a song that I love, and when I hear it come on, it's my jam, like Miss Independent by Kelly Clarkson. Like, these are songs that come on, and
Can we rate Miss Independent by Kelly Clarkson?
10.
Okay.
Out of 10. I can never get tired of hearing Miss Independent. But when the song Right Where You Want Me comes on, I am so into it. But the truth of the matter is, it's really not as good of a, like, song for regulars. Like, when you hear Beautiful Soul, one, everyone knows it. Two, it's like a pretty standard pop tune where everyone can, like, get into it even if they don't know it. Right Where You Want Me has a good, like, bump.
Yeah, dude, I love that.
But like,
girl, there's something about me that you wanna know.
But like, it's really, no, I'm not gonna, I'm feeling, like I am feeling that. I'm not gonna pretend I'm not feeling that right now even. But I feel like there's just something like, the chorus is not like, if you don't know the song, you're not as into the chorus as you should be. And I will say that it's a judgment call. Like, you should be into it, but it's not as going to hook you like the, baby,
take me on a journey.
Like, that's... I was just thinking about songs that, like... But the thing about Right Where You Want Me is the verses are way better than the chorus.
I like
until
the
end
so
when
much.
He says, right where you want me. Or whatever. What's the line? He says, yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
I feel like there's like a wind up to the chorus. Like he starts like,
oh, don't be gentle, I get it everything.
Babe,
are you trying to give it a 9?
Yeah, I think it's a 9. I said I think it's a stronger 9 than Beautiful Soul.
I think that I am okay giving it a 9. The more we talk about it. But I just don't think it's as good as Beautiful Soul for mass appeal.
I think any song that moves me to tears, like Right Where You Want Me does, deserves a 9.
I mean, you're talking about moving me to tears. We got to get to the next album. But first, I think we got to rate this album as a whole.
This album as a whole?
6.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6. It is over.
For me, it's like a 5. I don't know anything on this album except that song.
Just so you know, this feeling's taking control. Don't know that one?
It's okay.
It's a good one?
It's okay.
Blow Your Mind?
It doesn't blow my mind.
You don't like Blow Your Mind?
It's fine.
Blow My Mind? I don't... Then actually, tell her. Tell her about it.
That's not it.
Yeah, I know. I do know Tell Her, but I can't think of how it
Everyone
goes
Everyone
right
knows that Tell Her's a Creed song.
Feeling You? Do you want any of these?
Nah.
Invincible? Okay, fine.
I know the song Invincible. It's like a 5 out of 10.
It's not a 5. It's a 6.
I'll take a 6. I said 6 initially. We'll take a 6.
It's a 6.
Whatever You Want Me is the worst Jesse McCartney album. We'll say that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, now, Departure.
All right. Now, Departure, my boy. That's an album where we can get... real good. All right, there is one flaw with the album Departure, and that's the original version of the song Body Language doesn't have T-Pain on it, and it's kind of weak.
That is true. Without T-Pain, the song's not nearly as good.
He's just like,
okay, hold on. I'm gonna list all of the songs, and I want you to tell me, banger or not banger. Leaving,
banger.
It's Over,
banger.
Rock You,
mostly banger.
How Do You Sleep featuring Ludacris,
death banger.
Into Ya.
It's okay.
Makeup?
Good.
My Baby?
Banger.
Told You So?
It's okay.
I like Told You So a lot. Relapse?
It's okay.
Running?
How's Running go?
I'm trying to think too. I'm blanking on the song Running.
Hit the play button.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
Running away.
It's a pretty good song.
Freaky?
Good.
Not Your Enemy.
Death good.
Oh, so good. Oxygen.
Not Your Enemy is a beautiful song. Talk about move me to tears, man.
Dude.
He sings most of it in that sexy falsetto that he's got. Oxygen's... alright, it's pretty good.
Oxygen's fine. Crash and Burn.
Nah.
Body Language.
Yeah. Well, okay. T-Pain or non-T-Pain?
Non-T-Pain.
Nah, it's alright.
It's fine. In My Veins.
But with T-Pain... Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So good.
Nappy boy, pretty boy, collaborate. Oh, we can't say the second line is peachy.
That's true. I'm lifting up my voice. Okay, so freaking Departures, I think we can also argue, and by argue I mean it's factually the best Jesse McCartney album.
Yes, absolutely. Departures is the best Jesse McCartney album.
Hands down. Okay, so let's rate. What songs do you think we should rate from this? I think there's a few we should.
I mean, do we just want to pick our favorites? Because, like, there are favorites here.
I mean, Body Language with T-Pain.
Yes, 10.
10.
Body Language without T-Pain.
Freaking 6.
6. Yeah, 6 is fine. Because, like, seriously, like, it's almost like an empty song. Because it's like, what's, like, the beginning? Where it's just like,
And there's no T-Pain, like.
But instead, you got T-Pain going, Nappy boy, pretty boy, collaboration. And then, like.
Then we have to edit that next line.
Yeah. But, like. I mean, we don't have to. I mean, he just talks about booties. Boo. Everyone's got them.
Yeah, right. I haven't pooped in months. I lost mine.
Did you hear what my daughter said the other day?
No.
Amanda was changing Charlie's diaper. And Molly was like, "Oh, look at those buns!" Because that's what Amanda always says. And Amanda's like, yeah. She's like, "I have buns, Mom." And Amanda's like, yeah, you have buns too. She's like, you have buns? She's like, everybody has buns. She's like, you have buns, Mom, too. But no one can touch them but Daddy. I don't know. Where she learned that? I didn't say it. I never told her that. All right. So with T-Pain, 10. Without T-Pain, 6.
I mean, it's Over?
10. It's real good.
So good.
It's Over is a great song.
Leaving.
10.
So good. All right. One more. Not Your Enemy.
10.
So good. I freaking love this album.
Not Your Enemy is so beautiful. He's not her enemy.
What will it take for him to make her see that?
What will it take for me to make her see?
not your enemy. Dude, it's... Our mom also, just a shout out to mom again, huge fan of that song.
It's a good album, man.
So good. I think we can rate Departure
as 10.
10 out of 10.
Maybe 9, because there was a couple.
There's some missteps.
But there's so many good steps. What's the opposite of a misstep? A pro step?
Pro step?
There's so many pro steps. Bro steps.
Bro steps.
A bro step.
That's good podcasting right there. And then in Technicolor.
I want to kill everybody in the world.
Devil.
Technicolor's like, as an album,
it's fine.
No, because we gave, what did we give a 7?
Beautiful Soul. We gave Beautiful Soul a 7.
It's not as good as Beautiful Soul.
We gave Right Where You Want Me a 6. Departure a 10.
A 6.5, but we can't do that.
We can give it a 6.
It's like,
we can give it, it's a 6, but it's a stronger 6 than Right Where You Want Me.
Yeah, because, well, here's the thing. It doesn't have a certified banger like Right Where You Want Me, but it does have good tracks.
I think Back Together is a certified banger.
Back Together.
Back Together.
It's not as much of a certified banger. It's a great song. If it comes on the radio, I'm going to play it, but I don't like have to be in it. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to put this song on the radio. If Right Where You Want Me is on the radio, I'm going to be singing it. There's no question. If it's a dance floor, I'm going to be on the dance floor. That's no question.
I'm trying to think. Superbad is a good one. Checkmate's a good one.
They're fine.
Goodie Bag, good one.
I don't remember, honestly, if I'm facing this, if I'm facing these facts, this is the album I know the least.
I mean, I also would argue, I mean...
Not the least, because Right Where You Want Me, I definitely know the least. But, like, these are all songs that I've played and think they're all pleasant, but, like,
they don't stand out in
your
head.
They don't stand out the way that, like, a Departure song does.
Have you listened to the new single?
I have.
Oh, hold on, let's rate... I mean, I think Back Together is probably the one that was a single for that album.
Back Together's maybe
and Superbad.
I would give it a 7.
It's a 7. It's a good song.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Superbad, I don't know. You'd have to pick it, because I can't. I don't remember.
It's a 6. Lower.
Okay.
It's not as good. It's pretty good, though.
Okay.
Have you heard the new single, though?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I've only heard it 2 times.
Also,
and once,
did you hear...
I listened to the acoustic and the non-acoustic, and
I think
it's barely
acoustic's
different.
Better,
it's
though.
It's barely different.
Because I think... Well, here's what I think why it's better. I think that... He should have leaned harder into some EDM if he was going to choose
to
go to the EDM.
We don't talk about lean. This is a clean podcast.
I think he should have been more pro EDM with his song and had some more in there, or cut it out entirely, which the acoustic version does.
I would rather hear him talk about how he beat Shaq or just the OG I Want Candy.
Dude, that's how I beat Shaq. Boom! I put it in the hoop like jam. What would you rate Jesse McCartney's new single?
Like a 7 at least. I would have to listen to it more. If I listen to it more, it might go up. 7 is definitely good.
Yeah, I like it a lot though. And I heard it. Somebody told me about it, and then I was like, oh, I didn't realize that Jesse released a song. Looked it up. I was like, okay, it's pretty good. Heard the acoustic version. I was like, that's better. But I got genuinely excited for new Jesse McCartney music.
Jesse McCartney. Rate Jesse McCartney.
I want to say. At least a 9.
Here's the thing. The only review we've ever had of this podcast in written form implied that 10 should be something that's transcendent, a.k.a. it takes us above the natural realm and takes us into the metaphysical, spiritual, whatever you call it, realm. Jesse McCartney, and this may be nostalgia talking, is a 10 out of 10 artist.
He takes me to that place.
He takes me away to that special place. If I stare too long, I'd probably...
If I stare too long, I'd probably break down and cry!
What are you singing?
It's a Child of Mine. Michael, also, I don't know if we said anything funny as much as we just talked about how much we love Jesse McCartney. Are you realizing this at all? I mean, I do think the idea, just because Jesse McCartney is usually kind of one of those sexy boy icon artists and makes pop music, the idea of just two grown men as brothers talking about how much they love Jesse McCartney is funny to me in and of itself.
It's not... Did we say anything funny? Yes. But were we talking truth with a light bit of humor? Yes. Because Jesse McCartney is 10.
10 out of 10.
He's like so an angel. Good. Without an angel. Does he have a song called Angel?
No. Also, hold on. We also have to, like, just talk about this. Do you know the song, and by more importantly, who wrote and also has the song, Bleeding Love?
Jesse McCartney wrote Bleeding Love.
I forget that all the time.
I don't like his version as much.
His version is not as good. However,
but he wrote Leona Lewis's Bleeding Love. I keep bleeding.
Bleeding.
I never try to sing a song because I butcher every time.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm so such good. A fan.
What's... man, I'm going to say something that we may have to edit out of this podcast. Leona Lewis has one of the biggest noses I've ever seen.
Do you remember the one time that you literally said you're a fan of Demi Lovato because she has a dog's face?
Did I say this or was this my character?
This was your character, Charlie.
Okay, yeah, I used to like... My dog was a character. Okay, yes. I don't remember saying the words myself, but when I fact check it against my history of a comedic brother, I think I would have said that, probably.
Yeah, Charlie.
It's bringing a couple bells.
Charlie was a big fan of Demi Lovato, and I asked him why, and he said, she has a very big mouth and a very big nose. And then he said, I have a very big mouth and a very big nose. So you're a fan of Demi Lovato because she's like you. And he said, yes, I like Demi Lovato because she has a dog's face. Which is just a terrible thing to say.
You know, my laptop was named Lovato. That was the name of this the laptop I had.
The name of my laptop was Swift.
Oh, man.
Did you bring anything to the table this time?
Yeah, dog.
Or did I take yours? Was yours also Jesse McCartney?
How did you know? We are brothers, but like we haven't talked a lot except for texting, and we did not text about blonde hair or boy idols.
Oh, you brought a different one though. We're going to talk about Justin Timberlake.
No, but if we did want to talk about Justin Timberlake, we could.
I'm a huge fan.
We're not talking about Justin Timberlake. That's for another day and another discussion. This is the longest we've ever recorded and not like wanted to trash the whole thing. Not true. The first one was long.
The first one was really long. And again, I think the idea of us talking about Jesse McCartney is hopefully funny.
I'm gonna get a little bit meta here because like you've been meta the other
two that we've done.
Did I say what episode this was?
This episode I did. It's episode 3.
We have to rate the naming scheme of the series.
Oh boy,
The Fast and the Furious.
Oh boy,
one of my favorite movie series is. Of all time.
So good.
All right, so let's... I know them all. I have to admit, disclaimer, I am sitting on a Blu-ray of the newest one, but I have not seen it. I've been waiting, but I have it.
It might be in my top 2.
Really?
I freaking love it.
All right, so my idea... First, we have to rate the naming scale. Then we actually have to rate the movies themselves.
Of course.
All right, first of all, let's go through the movies by title. The first one, The Fast and the Furious. Second one?
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Third one is called The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Fourth one?
Fast and Furious.
Fifth one is called Fast 5. Sixth one?
Is it Fast 6 or is it just Fast and Furious 6?
It was called Fast 6 in trailers, but I think it's Fast and Furious 6. The seventh one is called... Oh, no.
I know this one.
What's the seventh one called? I'm blanking.
It's Fate of the Furious. No. That's the newest one. It's Furious 7.
Oh, yeah. It's just Furious 7. And then the newest one is called The Fate of the Furious. I have it on Blu-ray sitting here.
It's tight, dog. That one, it is the most ridiculous out of all of them, which is, I mean, a statement. However... So good.
All right,
what a spectacle.
This series gets a lot of poop on it because they're like, well, why don't they just call it Faster and Furiouser? Because they're not plebeians like you, fake person. Like, if they're not Faster and Furiouser because they're not stupid idiots. They're people with a brain and they have the best naming scheme.
Also, let's just be honest. The Fate of the Furious is a dope title.
We'll get to The Fate of the Furious. We have to go through first. Because, like, the first time people... It's like, Too Fast, Too Furious... is a beautiful name
for a beautiful movie.
So like you have people talk about like Die Hard. The second movie's called Die Harder, which is amazing. It's a perfect title for the sequel to a movie called Die Hard. The first movie's called The Fast and the Furious. The second movie's called Too Fast, Too Furious. It's a freaking awesome title. They're so fast and so furious. Too much so. But also, it's a double entendre because it's also the second movie.
And, correct me if I'm wrong, they used the number two both times.
Yeah, they do. And here's the thing. We go to 3, which is called The Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. It's the laziest title of all of them, and also the least bold choice.
However, the funniest one to say when referring to drifting, be like, I'm going to Tokyo Drift this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I get more comedic time, more comedic minutes out of Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift than any of the other ones.
Yeah, I don't like the title that much. But then we go 4, right? It's called
Fast and Furious.
Now, let me tell you, I was sitting in a conference room watching the Apple conference when they declared that the reason that they took out the headphone jack with the new iPhone was because they were the only ones brave enough to do it. And I laughed out loud because that is such horse poop that, like, they didn't want to put a headphone jack in their phone. It had nothing to do with bravery. They're just freaking
money.
They're just freaking Apple. Whatever. Money. Dude, the bravest thing I've ever heard in a movie title is for them to take a franchise called The Fast and Furious and call their fourth movie Fast and Furious. Like, what a bold choice that was.
It's the same thing of the first one, except for we took out some of the articles.
But, it means something. Like, that's the kind of bravery we need in Hollywood. Like, we're talking about, like, these people are like, I'm going to make a movie about this political topic because I'm such a brave and, like, outstanding individual. No, dog. We need people willing to take stands. Somebody thought that was going to be confusing, and some guy in a boardroom said, it's not confusing. People will know it's the fourth one. You idiot. You plebeian. You Cretian.
You think they haven't heard of the other three that we've made?
Clearly, Fast and Furious is the fourth one. You dumb butt.
Well, I mean, we have The Fast and the Furious. Then we have Too Fast, Too Furious. Then Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. You think that the next one's just going to be the first one again?
It's called Fast and Furious. They will never get it confused. This isn't like an Xbox One, an original Xbox situation. There's no confusion at all. It's called Fast and Furious.
And to any casual that can't figure out the huge apparent puzzle that you're trying to tell me I'm presenting to these people, maybe this is a little too highbrow of a movie for those kind of people.
Fast 5. It's fine.
As a title or as a movie?
As a title.
It's a good movie. Fast and Furious 6.
I think it's Furious 6. No.
Furious 7. I think it's Fast 6.
It's Fast. It's just Fast and Furious 6, I think. It's not good.
It's not the best.
It's not good.
However, Furious 7.
Furious 7, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Because it just implies that there are 7 angry people. But that's not, I don't think.
That's not at all true.
I don't know. I've never added it up. Are there Dom, 7 people? Dom.
Roman.
Yeah, but this is 7. So it's everybody but Han.
Dom, Roman.
Tej. Brian. Letty's. How many do you have in your hand?
5.
That one, like, hacker chick?
She's new.
Yeah, 6. Does,
isn't there, like, it's
does Dwayne count?
If you count Dwayne, 7. But isn't there also, like, a different chick? Or does she quit when Hans... Spoiler. When Hans dies. Does she quit?
She died, dog.
That's why he left.
That's why he left.
Right.
Rip. Dude, it made my heart cry. And my eyes.
And my eye. Well, that's in the first one, though.
No, it made my heart cry first. No, it's in the third one.
No, you crying is in the first one.
I cry in all of them for different reasons.
Okay. Yeah, so there's 7 if you count Mr. Johnson.
The Rock?
Mr. The Rock Johnson?
Mr. The Rock.
Mr. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. So, like, there's just 7 angry people, and it's, like, so good. But also, it's okay.
Jason Statham's pretty angry in that movie, too.
Jason Statham's so mad. I wish Jason would if he would take a chill pill, that movie would have taken a whole new turn.
He was a real grumpster the whole movie.
Fury 7's really where that movie just takes a comic book turn, where he's just a supervillain that, like, teleports around.
And just shows
I'll
up.
I'll get you, He-Man!
There's also the part in that movie when they drive a car through three buildings.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
It's so good. All right, now we have to get back to the matter at hand. The Fate of the Furious
is just a good title.
Is it the best movie title I've ever heard? Maybe.
It might be.
Is it one of the best movie titles I can think of off the top of my dome? Absolutely. It's called The Fate of the Furious. It's about... It's called The Fate of the Furious. It's just about what happens to these super angry people.
But do you want
to
know what it's about, Michael? It's about family.
But no, I don't know what the movie's actually about.
It's about family.
It's the title. It's called The Fate of the Furious. It's about what happens
to all these mad boys.
The destiny of these just torqued off multicultural crew of car thieves and street racers. They're so mad. But it's about what happens to them at the end. In the end times, in the eschatology of the Fast and Furious movies.
I mean, little light spoilers, it does flash forward to the judgment day of street racers.
Oh no. Now I never know what to watch. I don't know if I should watch this. Because they're going to end up at the end of the world with Bill and Ted. Oh. You owe me a 10-second card, dude. Hold the tuna.
Dude, your mom's so hot. Remember when I asked your mom to prom?
Rating scheme for the Fast and Furious movies.
I mean, let's just start with one and work our way through eight.
No, we're gonna rate the movies, but we're going to rate the scheme as one. How do we rate the scheme of titling the Fast and Furious
movies? 10 out of 10. They did the best.
They did. Here's the thing.
Name a running. I mean, because you have to think.
They did the best. Yes.
Yeah. And you can't compare it to any other movie.
They did the best. Yes. But is it perfect? No. There's some flaws, but it's at least an 8. But we're working with a small 2-point range here, 8 to 10.
Transcendence.
That's three numbers, actually.
It is transcending. If we're people talking, are not going to like.
The Fast and the Furious itself is such a beautiful name.
Yes.
And then it warps into Too Fast, Too Furious. Amazing. We have a couple duds.
I'm a bigger fan of Tokyo Drift than you are as a name.
Tokyo Drift is fine.
Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. I think it's good.
I think the worst title of the entire series is probably 6, which is just Fast and Furious 6. So, like, it's got to be a 9. You've convinced me on a 9.
It's good. It's a 9. That's fair.
But no, it's a 10. No, because there are some that are so good that they cannot be surpassed by human wisdom.
The Fate of the Furious.
The Fate of the Furious. 7. The first one. The second one.
The fourth one.
Oh, it's so good. 10 out of 10. The Fast and Furious name scheme, 10 out of 10. Absolutely. I don't know why I even doubted myself. I'm a bad person. I apologize.
Now, Fast and Furious 1.
Self-flagellation is in my future. The Fast and Furious 1 as a movie. Absolutely 10 out of 10. There's no way this movie is not transcendent. This movie brought me back to a time and place and an atmosphere and a culture that was not real in a way that made me wish it was. It made me feel nostalgic for things I've never felt, which is not a real feeling, but I call it nostalgia.
Can I also...
I literally have a Fast and Furious movie poster that I'm looking at that's sitting right behind you because I love this freaking movie so much.
Can I say something also?
It made me cry.
I've known my brother for 20 years now. I can count with one hand the number of times I've seen my brother cry.
And all of them are related to people's deaths.
Literally one time at a funeral, and the only other time I've ever seen my brother cry is at the spoilers for The Fast and the Furious. If you haven't seen that movie,
don't spoil it. Just give him a little hint.
There's a moment at the end of The Fast and the Furious where two bros just really, really have a moment that my brother is moved to tears by.
Every time. I've seen the movie 4 times at least. All within a short period of time. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scene.
Wait, hold on. I've seen my brother cry one other time. One time, I was sick. And for people who don't know me, have a bit of a reading challenge.
And he's blind.
My brother came in the room and read a comic book to me. And in said comic book, spoilers for freaking Avengers vs. X-Men, because it's a bad comic book.
We can spoil Avengers vs. X-Men.
When Scott kills Professor X, me and Michael both got a little weepy.
But, like, you didn't preface the fact that we, like, watched all of X-Men the Animated Series together for, like, the course of 2 years.
It was real good.
So when we watched Scott kill Prof X, it was so bad. I was so mad at that Scott boy. He owes Professor X everything. And he murdered him in cold blood because... Why? I don't remember why. Because
Scott, I've argued for a long time that Scott's just the worst. I didn't even like him in that stupid show. And by stupid show, I mean very, very good show.
He was a punk turd, but he wasn't evil. Oh, he's irredeemable.
I believe they actually made like a series about that, called like Irredeemable.
Irredeemable is about a fake Superman.
No, I think there's like an Irredeemable X-Men like series that was running about how Scott's the worst.
Heck, freaking darn it.
Yeah, I freaking hate Cyclops, and now I have more justifiable reasons too.
Too fast, too furious.
Now, see, here's the thing. If you want the same tone of the first one, you're in for a disappointment. If you come at this as it's more of just a comedy movie...
Are you going to defend this movie?
Yeah.
I love this movie, but like, I feel like we might be the only two humans on Earth that do. People hate this movie so much. They think it's hot garbage, and I think it's so funny.
I think it's also hot garbage, but in a very good way.
It's hot garbage in the fact that they use about zero practical effects compared to the first movie where they used like almost all practical effects. And the special effects do not hold up.
Not but even man, a little
it's
bit.
It's a comedy. Like, that's the difference.
Yeah, it's really funny.
The first movie is a real serious movie. I say that straight face. The second movie is a buddy cop comedy.
And it's real good.
And it's really funny. And... you want to talk about a movie that takes the women character and completely disempowers them and also like throws them in the background to where you like completely forget about them. That's Too Fast, Too Furious. Strike against it.
I forgot that there was a chick character in that movie.
Yeah, it's also like an actress that actually like people know too.
Hmm.
But you don't remember her because she doesn't do anything. Dude, also remember that part where you're watching a comedy and that dude gets a rat and yeah, eats his chest out? Yeah, dark.
Yeah, that's
not funny.
That's another misstep. Two missteps for the whole movie.
I give it an 8.
I was about, yeah.
We'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. This is not my least favorite in the series.
Like, no. It's not the least favorite. So this is the part where I always get into fights with people, because everyone likes the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Now, the vibe I get off the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, where you're like in this Japanese drift club, dope as crap. They're working with the Yakuza...
The last race, like the whole drifting like sequence of the last race, so good.
But man, what a protagonist turd. I hate that country boy.
Yeah, I think like it is a really weird thing to pitch a thing where you hate the main character.
No, and like it's not just because he's a country boy. Like, he is a legitimate turd also.
Yeah, and weird and awkward and bad.
If we were going to bash this movie, also, it starts off with, like, the dude from Home Improvement is in the beginning of this movie.
Oh, dude, he is.
Also, Brad. If we're going to actually bash this movie, that chick, the love interest in this movie, cannot maintain a single accent. She changes accents approximately 3 times per scene.
Yeah, at least Country Boy has his bad country one the whole time.
Oh, man.
Also, actor who is in a Fast and Furious movie is now the star of NCIS New Orleans.
That dog? Man, this movie's like a 4, I think.
I think it's at least a 5. I think it breaks even. There's some stuff going for it.
There's cool stuff.
Han's character's in it.
Oh, cool. Han is in it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a 5, probably. Yeah, it's not... Yeah, 4 is like... Implies 3. It's worse.
But yeah, sorry. Yeah. A 4.
Yeah, it's a 5. It's a 5.
Now.
Fast and Furious. While I love the bold choice of the title, I think this movie is not very good in so many ways.
So, like, this does the thing where, like, kind of turns on the head. The reason that the first one's so cool, you see these bros just have this real moment. The whole movie, except for, like, the last maybe 10 minutes, you see those also said bros just fighting with each other.
It makes sense. Why though? Like,
I don't want to see it.
But like, also, it's just so bad for so many reasons. The villain doesn't make any sense. The special effects are terrible. The movie just seems like, for a movie where there's like supposed to be fast and furious people, it's literally called Fast and Furious. It's really kind of like you get lost in the plot to like, you don't, there's nothing happening. There's almost nothing happening. And like, you don't understand. I don't like Fast and Furious. I love the title. I do. Especially as the fourth one in the series.
This one's 4. Fast and Furious 4 is a 4.
Yeah, it's not very good. Every time I try to watch these movies going back, I have to watch them in series. And like, I'm always like, it wasn't that bad. And then I turn on, like, I wish I could skip this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 4.
Now, Fast 5.
Fast 5 is a good movie.
I like Fast
it's 5. It's very good. So let's see. Fast 5 is the one with the bank vaults, right?
Yes, where they drive the vault.
Yeah, yeah.
Through this
good stunt in a good movie.
So good. It also brings back the character from the first one and makes him more likable, doesn't it? Or is that 6?
Character from the first one?
Yeah, like Vince or something.
Oh, yeah. Rip. Yeah. Vince comes back. It's real good. If we give 1 a 10 and 2 an 8, I'll give this one an 8.
Yeah. Yeah. For different reasons. Yeah. But yeah.
Totally different reasons. It's not a comedy. Some sad things happen. Then we get to Fast 6. Now,
enter Mr. Dwayne The Rock
Johnson. I think Fast 6 is better than some people give it credit for. Fast 5 is when it becomes like a almost like a heist crew.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, they'd steal a bank vault. But like, Fast 6 is where it really takes, it really starts to take on its comic book
bookery. Yes.
Where like, these are no longer people, these are superheroes. And like, it's a crew of superheroes like the Avengers, and they do dumb, cool stuff that's awesome. And that scene at the end with the airplane,
where they have like the
50 billion mile long runway.
It's so good though.
But
I loved it.
Until Giselle dies.
That is true.
And then my heart and my eyes cried, as we mentioned previously. That's what drives Han to go to Japan, which... Oh, hold on! We haven't mentioned, for those people that don't understand, the chronological nature of this movie, which is...
1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3, 7, 8. 'Cause reasons.
We're not going to get into it, but let's just say that we're talking about characters that have died earlier in the series, because 3 takes place after almost all of them except 7. All right. Well,
7 and 8.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Continue. We don't need to dig.
But, like, some of the stuff in 6 is so cool and good. I like 6 a lot. 6 is
great, and it's there's, I was going to say nothing sad happens, except for the Giselle part at the very end. It's not very sad at all. It's a funny movie. But it's also good, but there's also lots of action and cool stuff. And also that one dude that's freaking huge fights The Rock, and it's pretty dope.
And also, I think that's the one where we see The Rock and...
Vin?
Yeah, fight.
Vinny, fight a little bit, but they become bros.
It's real good.
And then Fast 7.
Furious 7.
Furious 7. It struggles.
There's a lot going for it. And a lot against it.
And, like, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, Brian Spillner. He died.
I mean, his real name was Brian O'Connor.
Yeah, he died.
He did die. And, like, that makes for the ending of that movie to be one of the weirdest things I've ever
seen. Also cried. Yes. Also, like...
Because these actors who are clearly friends with him are, like, saying goodbye to him in, like, a very happy light in the movie, but the actors are so very actually sad because their friend's dead.
And, like...
That the tone shifts so weird at the end of that movie. The
whole movie struggles because of it. Like, there's scenes where they won't show his face. There's scenes where, like, it's really clearly edited, like, because they had to cut lines and stuff. Like, everything about that movie really suffers because of Brian, and it's really sad. It's a tragic accident. I don't want to talk about it in our comedy podcast, but 7 is not very good.
I'd say it's a 6, though. There's a lot going for it.
Yeah, there's a 6. It's not the worst one, but it's not good. Statham is good, though.
Statham's
always good in everything I've seen him in.
That freaking, his fight scene with The Rock and his fight scene with Dom at the end.
I say we have to postpone our rating of The Fate of the Furious until I've seen it.
I'm totally down. We also freaking, that's so good.
I need to watch The Fate of the Furious. I love the title so much.
So good. Michael, where can people find us on the internet?
Thanks for listening to the show. You can find us at whackmatters.com. Thanks for listening to A Life's What You Rate It. This has been episode 3. You can check out other stuff on our website, whackmatters.com. I have another podcast that I post.
Do you have a title for it yet?
Yeah, it's called The Music Matters. Clever, right? Where I have conversations about music with my friend. And most recently, we talked about the J. Cole album and a little bit more about just hip-hop in general and how Drake basically owns everything, including our lives and soul and happiness. And,
I mean, he knows God's plan, though, so it's okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad things that we're wishing on him. But he turned the O2 into the O3, so we're good.
I also heard that he has 50 dub tatted on him.
Well, I mean, there's... He only loves his girlfriend, Parley. He only loves his mom and his Betty, sorry. But if you like what we do here and we made you laugh and you happen to have a little bit of spare change, we've added a donate button to the side of the whackmatters.com site. And if you'd like to, you could just donate us a little bit of cash here to get us out of these canned phone string scenario and back into the world where I can like bring my family to home. Actually, my wife kicked me out. And that's why we're living in the street together.
She unjustifiably...
I mean, not to get dark, but I have been defecating on the street.
And she was unjustifiably miffed that we quit our jobs after getting $4.20. I don't understand why she was so mad about
Blaze
that.
Blaze it. Blaze it. But if you'd like to donate money, you could do that. If you'd like to like us and share our crap on Facebook, that'd be really cool, because we want to make people laugh all over the world. We'd like to spread the love. So
rate us 5 stars on iTunes also.
Rate us 5 stars really on iTunes. Useful. That helps us. Tweet us on the tweeters. Whack Matters on Twitter. Facebook.com/WhackMatters.
If feedback to let's reach out about the show.
If you want to email us, we never talk about this, but if you want to email us a thing that you'd like to have rated, or maybe just a comment or correction, you're wrong. Probably. I mean,
yeah, we're not. It's weird.
You could do that at podcast@whackmatters.com. Go ahead.
It's weird. It's some people think that this is our opinion that we're sharing. It's just facts.
This is science.
Yeah, we are scientifically, mathematically, and something else.
But if you think we're wrong, you could email us at podcast@whackmatters.com.
And we'll be more than happy to explain to you why you're wrong.
Once again, 3 times, podcast@whackmatters.com. You want to talk about your stuff?
Follow me on Instagram, @AfroThunda on Instagram. I make silly videos that people seem to enjoy there. It's the only other thing creatively I've done that has any sort of clout.
Have you been writing every night for 2 weeks now? You can't talk about it?
I mean, it's just pitches for another podcast.
And then talk about your podcast.
And then I make another podcast called Let Me Pitch This to You, where me and a friend of mine come up with an idea, hopefully a week, if he's not busy or not doing anything. It's a little bit spear I'm throwing at Ian. I don't think he listens to the show, though. Good. And then we just talk about our ideas and have you guys vote on who you think is
better.
They're
not scientific. They're just spearheading ideas. So
yeah.
Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not really good. And sometimes they're not. It just depends. Yeah. That's the nature of the beast.
It's almost like if you try to come up with a creative story every single week, you're occasionally going to throw up a brick or two.
If you were a lesser comedian than us, sometimes you would throw jokes out that aren't funny.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't edit this podcast at all. Except for we add fake beeps.
No, that's just me going, beep. I'll edit a beep there. Oh, crap, I said that.
Hey, Michael, you want to hear a dirty joke?
We keep this podcast PG, but absolutely.
A white horse fell into the mud.
Oh, no.